Welcome to the Awesome Non-Speakers Podcast, which used to be called Awesome Autism Tools. I'm so excited about this new name. It reflects more clearly the heart of what I care so much about: connection, presumed competence, hope, and expression for non-speakers, unreliable speakers, and their families. I'm so glad that you're here.
I'm so excited to have Donna here today on our podcast. And I'm just going to have her go ahead and start by introducing herself. And then I have some questions for her.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here. I love your podcast. Yeah, my name is Donna. I'm a spelling to communicate practitioner.
Okay.
So when I was like teen and early 20s, I did a lot of work with people with autism. I did a lot of summer camps and I worked in a group home. And so I was always working with, you know, even non-speakers too. So that's people with autism who don't communicate using speech. And I loved it. It was a passion of mine. Another passion was theater and performing and writing. And so I leaned that way. And once I had kids, I didn't have time to do the other work, really. Cut to, as we say in the biz, now. And my father has his own theater company in Seattle. And he goes and sees shows, and he went and saw this play written by a non-speaker who spelled out the entire play. And he was like, you have to see this. You're going to love it. So he put me in touch with the Theater of Possibility director, and she showed me the play and put me in touch with the playwright's mom, who is a spelling to communicate practitioner. And so it all came together. So I watched all the documentaries I could, read all the books. And what spelling to communicate is, which is if someone can't communicate using speech, they can learn to point to letters on a letterboard, eventually a keyboard, and spell or type what they want to say. And so once I learned the mechanics of that and why it works and how it works, and then I started reading all of this beautiful work by spellers, I was just hooked. And I was like, yeah, I have to do it. And the playwright's mom connected me to the International Association for Spelling to Communicate, which is, they offer this amazing practitioner training. And yeah, I've been like on that train ever since. And I just completed the program and now I'm official.
I love that story. I did not know there was a non-speaker who wrote a play. What?
Oh my reason gosh. Being? Amazing. It's, yeah, I should have asked if I had permission to say her name on this, but I can, it's all on my website. So we can send people there and you can learn all that. But yeah, there's just so much written by spellers that is like beautiful poetry, songs. The work is just incredible. And the writer myself, I so appreciate good writing and it's out there for sure.
Yeah. And you see how hard they have to work to spell. It makes you appreciate even more the effort that went into it.
Absolutely. It is not easy. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Wow, for sure. Oh, I love that. I love your journey.
That's so cool. Me too.
Awesome. All right. I would love to know what have been some of the most rewarding moments for you and challenging moments. You can choose what you want to share first.
Yes, I'll start with rewarding. They call it the spellerverse, this kind of world where people are spelling and for non-speakers. And I have found it to be such a warm and welcoming universe. So I just feel very lucky to be a part of it. So that's been rewarding kind of overall. And I would say specifically working with kids and adults that have been counted out. And I work with this one boy he's 14, he's 15 now, but he was 14 when I started working with him. And his mom said that he's in a special ed class. And they basically told her he probably doesn't even really know his own name, doesn't know his own name. So I spelled with him for the first time and I know he can do it. He started like crumpled in on himself and covering his ears, really just dysregulated. And what is this? Another person who doesn't believe in me, maybe. And I was whispering really and tried to co-regulate. And regulation is such a huge part of this work. And so just slowly and got him to hold the pencil. And really, it's coaching the motor, which I can talk about later, but it's everything in this, which I did not understand. I didn't know anything about it really. And so getting him to reach his hand out, hold the pencil, put the pencil through the letter, like it was slow. And now, like, even in that session, he's spelling International Space Station. And I'm like, really? This kid doesn't know. Come on. He's so smart. He's so smart and just a beautiful person. And so every time, like literally in every session when that happens, I'm like, oh, it's just so rewarding. It's so rewarding. There's nothing like it. So I would say that's my specific reward. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And challenging, which is something we talked about in our session, is I think you could hear how passionate I am about this work. And I can tend to bring that to the families and my belief in it because I've seen it and I know it works. And I think I was feeling like I was being a little pushy with parents. And as we talked about, needing them to do this instead of wanting them to do this, which you really helped me with. And I think I was giving them a book. I was sending them links. If you're a parent who's ready, that's awesome. Because I'm giving you so much information. If you're a parent who's not quite ready or who's like going slow, I think it could be a lot. I didn't want to scare anybody or push them away by being a lot. So yeah, that has been challenging for me. Did you guys do a lesson this week together? We didn't get to it. Okay. That's cool. That's fine. It's so hard for me to not be like, why? Why? He's going to learn so much faster if you do it too. We have to be a team. So that's been challenging. Once I believe in something, I'm like 110%. And I don't understand when people don't believe in it too. So that's been a little hard.
That's so beautiful because your enthusiasm and your passion and your experiences that you've had that have grown that and intensified that. It makes sense why, of course, you want every parent of a non-speaker to know of this possibility. You'd be like, they know who they are. They want to communicate with you and get that out. It's
oh my gosh, yes.
Beautiful desire.
Yes, right. It is. It's all good. It's just that I can be a lot. So I didn't want to push people away that way or make them feel bad. I don't want to make anyone feel bad for not being where I am. That's okay. And yeah, you really helped me with that a lot.
Yeah. Okay. What motivated you to like sign to be like, be like, oh, I should work with an energy worker.
Yes, I know. I'm definitely someone who like follows a lead. So when I hear about something like two or three times, then I'm like, okay, I got to look into this. And people had mentioned, and literally, I don't think anyone's ever really said it to me before ever, but people said energy work. Have you thought about an energy healer? So it happened three times. And then when I was at an internship for this program, I met a mom and an S2C practitioner in training who had gone to you for her and her son, who's a non-speaker. And she was raving about you and said how much it worked for them. And I was like, I wonder if she would work with me, even if I don't have an autistic child, but I am working. She was like, I'll ask. And then you said yes. So that's how it happened, how I got connected and why I decided to pursue it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I'd say the moms of the non-speakers I work with are my biggest opponents. Like they're out there sharing the good news. So,
yeah. Yeah. She told me all about it. And it sounded really, I mean, you know, it sounds just like how, but that I was really intrigued. And now having done it, I'm like, oh, I get it. I mean, I get it. I see how it can work, which is so cool.
Yeah. So I guess share a little bit. How did our session go? Like, how did you feel during our session? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. So I was sitting on my couch and I closed my eyes and I just really wanted to hear what you were saying without any distraction. And I found myself moving, and I'm a writer. I sit at my desk. I'm very stiff, but I noticed I was like lowy, and I felt very light and I felt very happy, truthfully, just very good. And I really wanted to let what you were saying hit me, go through me. I really wanted to feel it. And I really did. I really enjoyed the session. I felt like very bright, very light, really cool. I was very open to it. And I feel like it helped. It really flowed through. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so curious because I haven't talked to you since our session. So I'm excited to hear. Have you noticed, I guess you want to share like why you work with me or like your main intentions and have you noticed any shifts around that since our session.
Yeah. So my two main things were definitely the pushiness with parents, or like the needing them to be where I was an issue. And also I was feeling like when I was in a session, whoever I was working with maybe had some mispokes, or that I would get nervous that I wasn't going to be able to help them. And that my lack of confidence, I didn't want them to feel that as lack of confidence in them. I wanted to get past that so that I could just be there and support them. And I know they're going to get there. So I wanted to exude that. And so those were the two things I came to you with. And yeah, I have felt a really big shift. And it's funny because I'm such a logical, like straight person that way. But I was really open to this and I feel it really helped. You gave me some, first of all, just some great affirmations that I keep with me, like the it's a want, not a need. And also just I'm here to help. And that feeling of I'm so lucky to be here to help, to just be here to support, that I really do genuinely feel that in every session. And I did before, but now I really tap into it, like how lucky that I get to be here right now. And the thing with parents really has helped. So this image of the window opening, I've opened the window and only they know when it's time, when they're ready, they will come through. But I can't ram them through the window, no matter how much I want to. I have to let them be ready. So those things have really helped. And I found like in the last, I think it's been a few weeks, right, since we met, that when those moments happen where there's mispokes or where they're a little dysregulated, I'm finding it much easier to breathe deep. And it's just happening faster, this co-regulation sort of moment feeling. And the one kid I have who is my mispoker, he's an impulsive poker, so he's just grabbing letters. He's never done better. I sound like a commercial, but I'm serious. Like it really helped me, and I feel like it's helping me help him. Calm down. You got this. Just that vibe is really, that feeling is really coming across, I think. So it's been really great. It's been really great. I have seen a shift and felt the shift, and I'm grateful. I loved it. Love the session, and I love the result.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I think that what you shared is so meaningful in the fact that even just you being calmer and more confident and more able to be regulated always has an effect on the people we're around, no matter what. Like the parents you're talking to or the kids you're working with, it just takes it down a few notches and everyone can like assess better.
Totally. Yeah. You really can feel it. I've been in the writing world for a long time, television writing, and I love that world too. I love the creativity, but regulated is not something I would say it is. It's not a very regulated place to be, and not a lot of that sort of connecting the way there is in this work. And you really have to be aware of yourself and your regulation. And it's a constant, right? I'm constantly working on that and thinking about it. And I realize when I'm not thinking about it is when we get into trouble, when I'm caught up in whatever this word we're trying to spell is. And that's when it's so great to remember to like, hey, take a beat. We're lucky to be here. This is awesome. Breathe. Yeah, it's so important.
That's so great. All right. Is there a particular moment or breakthrough that stands out to you from our time working together?
So much of it. But I love the image you gave me of the pebble in the water and kind of the ripple effect. And like the window opening, that's like the putting it out there, the moment that it's shared, that this is the invitation, and how far will that ripple go, and just letting it go and seeing what comes back. And a really bad image as well. That's been something that comes to my mind a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. What has surprised you the most about working with autistic children? And I love that you did it as a young person. And now you're doing it again. So I don't know what surprises you the most.
The piece that I was missing that I think we were all missing for a long time is the apraxia brain-body disconnect information, and that the motor planning is really the problem, the issue with these guys. It's not a cognitive thing. And once I heard this piece that cognition, reading, listening, understanding is in a different part of the brain, that part of the brain is completely intact. It's the motor part, which is all speech, which is sign language. All communication is motor and fine motor, right? When you think about it, all the articulators and lips, teeth, all that is so fine motor, typing, texting. So the piece that made so much sense to me is, oh, okay, so now instead of all that fine motor that's really hard for our guys, sensory feeds the motor, their sensory is a little bit mixed up, too much information, too little information. So that piece is not quite correct, right? So spelling to communicate takes it to the gross motor of pointing with your whole arm to the letters on the letter board. And that takes practice too. And the eyes, so that takes a lot of practice getting the eyes to the letter you want, poking the letter you want. And we practice. And then that builds to being able to pick whatever letter you want and getting to typing. And so once I heard Elizabeth Vossler do a talk about that, and she's the founder of Spelling to Communicate, and she's the founder of International Association for Spelling to as Communication, I asked, that just totally clicked. And now everything is motor. Like now I'm like, oh, everything is motor. They got it. They got cognition. They got it. They're as smart, if not smarter than everybody their own age. But the motor piece, like I have this little guy I work with. And at first when I worked with him, he would run away. Like, oh, I guess he doesn't want to. We think it's behavior. Oh, he doesn't want to spell. But now it's, I know the insides don't necessarily match the outside. He might want to spell, but his body can't get there. So now I coach his body, foot forward, left foot forward. We're doing so well because I'm talking to his body. Not like it's perfect all the time, but that piece has been a game changer in this world, right? In this spelling to communicate world, because if you know that, then everybody can do it. Everybody can get there. We may need different accommodations for different people, but they can all get there with the motor coaching. Anyway, that's just my little educational piece, but it's been huge. It's huge, right?
That's really powerful. It actually makes me think of, this is interesting, but my father-in-law has Parkinson's and my dad has Parkinson's. So we see this happening and one of them like got stuck in the pantry because sometimes it's like they need to move their foot forward, but their body won't do it. So then I'm researching, like, what can we get? And apparently, like, they have canes or, like, walkers that you push a button and a laser work will point, like, ahead of them. So they are like, oh, I need to move my foot there. And then they can do it. It's crazy. My dad sometimes uses a walker. But I'm like, when you said that, I'm like, what if they just said, like, out loud, like, move my right foot forward? Like, I wonder if that would do it. So I'm totally going to share that with them.
Definitely. There's so many tips and tools. And I wonder, I bet it would help. Like even seeing a visual sign like that, like can help with motor. Cause you're talking to the motor. It's true. Yeah.
And that's what's fascinating about Parkinson's. Just it's like they've had a functioning body and motor and everything. And now they've developed basically apraxia. I don't know if technically that's what it is, but it sure seems like it. And so it's just interesting, like it's backwards.
It is. And we talk about that in the training that if you saw someone like your father out in the world, you wouldn't necessarily know they were fully functioning before. Now you know them. So you know that they're thinking in there. But if you see someone with apraxia who's had it their whole life, you assume they're not in there. But it's the same as with, someone with Parkinson's or a stroke victim, like they're there. They just can't get the words out or get their motor working. Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting. Really interesting.
Awesome. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about before I ask you my last question? Anything you want to share?
I just would to make a plug for it that if you have a loved one or a child that you care for who is a non-speaker or even someone who is minimally speaking or we say unreliably speaking, which means right, that they have speech. And sometimes what they say is what they want to say, but sometimes it is not what they want to say. That even that, if you think they have speech, but can they communicate? Can they have a conversation with you? And sometimes I think those are the kids who don't get this. The parents don't think they need this because they have speech, but they have so much more to say. And so I would urge parents and caregivers to really think about if this could work for your kid.
All right. I always like to end with the question because my podcast is Awesome Autism Tools. So is there an awesome tool that you would like to suggest for parents or kids?
This is cheating, but I'm going to suggest Spelling to Communicate. I would say go, if you're curious about it, go to the IASC website. That's i-asc.org. That's Elizabeth Bossler's organization for spellers, and she's the one who founded Spelling to Communicate. And yeah, look into it, watch videos, watch the spellers documentary, read Underestimated. Oh, so many things. I'll have resources on my website. But yeah, I think it's phenomenal. Like, I think this thing is just the best thing that's happened. And there are statistics. This is on a website called Communication 4, number 4, all. As many as 40% of people with autism are non-speaking, more than 30 million people worldwide. Yet only a small fraction of non-speakers have been taught how to communicate. So that is so many people. And I feel so passionate about getting it out to as many non-speakers as possible. So if you have a non-speaker, a minimal speaker, or an unreliable speaker, please check out Spelling to Communicate or whatever method you like, but get them communicating because they can do it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Donna. It's been so fun chatting with you. I loved working with you. I'm happy to work with anyone that is helping support these kids. And I'm so glad you reached out. So thank you.
Oh my gosh, me too. Thank you so much, Sharon. And thanks for everything you do.
Yeah. And then please share your information if people want to learn more about you or how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. My website, the name of my company is In Your Own Words. And so it's inyourownwords-s2c2.com. So you can find me there and lots of information, lots of words from non-speakers there and resources too. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'll put that link in the show notes. So thank you so much, Donna. I loved it. It was fun.
Thanks, Sheridan. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening today. If this episode was helpful, please share it with a friend. And remember to sign up for my Very Awesome Friends newsletter to get access to the private podcast and other helpful resources. I'd love to stay connected with you there.